I'd like for you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. And thank you, Rhoda, and thank you, Dorothy. You've been tremendous. Wonderful. One of the most surprising realities is the truth of God's wonderful, matchless Word. We realize increasingly the urgency and the necessity of men and women coming back to God's Word in order to rightly understand it and to get the full impact of His wonderful Word. The death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are remarkably and accurately set forth in the Word of God. There is nothing so wonderful as the great accuracy with which God has set these truths in His Word. In the Gospel of John, in the 19th chapter, and in the 17th verse, we have one verse of Scripture from which people have drawn all of their thinking, all of their actions, even if their thinking and their actions have been contrary to the rest of the Word of God. So tonight, I'd like to handle with you the cross Jesus Christ bore. In the 17th verse of the Gospel of John, we read, "And he," talking about Jesus, "bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." According to the record here in the Gospel of John, it was Jesus who went forth bearing his cross, bearing his cross. And I'm sure that the pictures that most of the people have in their minds, especially our radio audience, perhaps not you who have sat under my teaching ministry, many of you in here, of course, will not have this picture, but I'm sure that our radio audience and the Christendom in general has the picture of Jesus Christ marching up toward Golgotha with the heavy wooden cross on his back. Even to the end that it has a crossbar on it, and it looks like a T, and he's carrying that up the rugged road to Golgotha. Even some people have pictures in their minds of seven different steps or progressions on the road to Calvary, and how Jesus Christ broke down under the cross, and how a woman came and wiped his face with a cloth. All of these are pictures people have in their minds. But class, we must always judge the pictures we have in our minds by the accuracy of God's Word, by the integrity with which the Word of God is set. You and I cannot afford to be engrossed by the pictures or the doctrines of the commandments of men if those pictures or those doctrines or those commandments are contrary to the integrity and the accuracy of the inherent greatness of God's wonderful, matchless Word. This scripture here in John 19:17 is the one I believe that most of people hold to themselves and believe this, never checking the rest of the Word of God to see how God's Word really fits. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 27 tonight and let the Word be the Word again to you. Let the Word speak authoritatively and finally in all matters of accuracy of our faith and of our believing. In Matthew 27, beginning with verse 27. Now what we're after is the greatness of God's Word and the accuracy as to what cross did Jesus Christ our Savior really bear. Verse 27. I'm in Matthew 27. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall." The common hall is called in another gospel, which we're going to be reading tonight, the Praetorium, the common hall, "and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." Verse 28. "And they stripped him and put on him," on Jesus, that is, "a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, verse 32, and as they came out, verse 31 has just told us, they put on him his own raiment and led him away to what? They led him, where were they? In the common hall, according to Matthew. The common hall was the judgment hall, the praetorium. This is where they were. And they led him away from before that place. You might call it a bema, a dais, a judgment place where they had done these things to him. They smote him. They bowed the knee before him. They put a crown of thorns. They led him away from there. They led him away to crucify him, verse 32, and as they came out of what? Out of the hall, out of the praetorium, out of that common hall. As they came out, verse 32 says, they found a man of strength, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. Now, people, that word of God is just as simple as day, isn't it? And it's just as plain that you've got to be stupider than stupid to miss it. But it is remarkable how Satan can blind people's eyes, you know? All of our eyes perhaps have been blinded at times. He blinds our eyes so that we read this word, we really don't see it. I have heard of people who were in automobile accidents who said that they drove up to the stop sign, they absolutely stopped, and then they drove across and they just got hit broadside. They had looked both ways, but they hadn't seen anything coming. Perhaps the Word of God is like this many times. We have just become blinded to the Word of God because of the former teaching we've had, or the pictures we've seen, or the influences others have carried over our lives and over our thinking. People, this Word of God is as simple here in Matthew as our meeting in the Way Biblical Research Center tonight. If you will take that verse 31 and think of it, they led him away to crucify him. Let's say he was here in the hall with us. And we led him away out of those main entrance doors. We led him out there to crucify him. And as they were come out of what? Come out of this main auditorium, as we would come out, then Simon of Cyrene would meet us there, and they compelled Simon of Cyrene to take the cross and bear it for Jesus. It's as simple as all that. And that's as plain as the Word of God is in the Gospel of Matthew. I don't know how God can make it any plainer to you. I didn't read your commentary. I didn't even read one word into the King James. Just let it set. And the accuracy of the King James here is accurate in the rest of the Greek translations, Aramaic, and all the rest of the English ones where they properly put it. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark and see what the record says there. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the Gospel of Mark. And the soldiers, verse 16, please. Mark 15, 16. And the soldiers led him who? Jesus, away into the hall called Praetorium. Here it's called Praetorium. In Matthew, it was called what? Common Hall, same hall. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Verse 18. And began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out. Led him out. Out of what? The praetorium. To what? Crucify him. And when they led him out, watch verse 21, they compelled one Simon, a what? Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. According to the Gospel of Mark, who bore the cross for Jesus then? Simon of Cyrene. The same truth that we just read line for line in the Gospel of Matthew. Mark says basically the same thing. When they led him out from the praetorium, there when they led him out was a fellow by the name of Simon, who came from Cyrene. And it tells us in here that he was the father of two sons, Alexander and Rufus. You know, sometimes people are at certain places, at certain times, with just the right time. I imagine sense knowledge-wise, when this occurred to Simon of Cyrene that year, he didn't look upon it as a very wonderful thing in his life. I believe he must have reacted violently to it. Why? Because he was in Jerusalem for what? The Passover. And touching this wooden cross on which Jesus was to be crucified would contaminate him and make it impossible for him to take the Passover that at that particular time. Here he was, having come down from Cyrene, and it just happened that he was passing by. Did it just happen? Anyways, he was just there at that particular time. And somehow or other, they laid the cross on him. I often think of this when I read the Word of God, how I myself have been in places where God was dealing with me from the Word. And as I arrived at those places, among those people, for instance, at the moment I reacted rather violently. I wish I could be someplace else. But right at that time, that's exactly what I needed. I don't know if you've ever been like that. I teach the Word of God to people across the country, and I watch them develop biblically and spiritually when I teach. And lo and behold, the first night or two when you're teaching them the accuracy of the Word, they sometimes wish they were back home, so they wouldn't have to listen to that old baloney. Because the first night or two, they say, well, that's strange to my ears. That just can't be it. Because that's just too simple. Just like what I'm teaching tonight. There will be people listening perhaps to our radio broadcast tonight who will feel like turning the blessed thing off because they just say it can't be. It doesn't agree with my theology. It doesn't agree with the pictures I have. It doesn't agree with what I was taught in catechism. It doesn't agree with what I was taught in my denomination. Well, people, it's not a question whether it agrees with what you were taught or what I was taught. It's a question of, is that what the Word of God says? That's all. It's not a question of my making the Word of God to agree with what I want to have it to say. It's a question of my agreeing with what the Word of God says, right? And I'm sure that the greatest learning periods in our lives have been at those places and at those times, perhaps, when sense knowledge-wise, we sometimes wish we could have been someplace else. And old Simon, I'm sure, who came to the Passover that year, was all upset that he should just walk past that door at the praetorium just at that moment when the soldiers were coming out, and they grabbed him and said, come on over here. And they put the cross on him and said, here, you carry. how he must have felt on the inside. And yet, we have two names mentioned here that really intrigued me, because later on, this Simon of Cyrene must have gone back to Cyrene, and he had this family of his, two sons, Rufus and Alexander, and he must have taught them the word of God, because later on in the church, these two young men become mighty leaders of the greatness of God's word in the eastern area of the sections of Palestine with the God's wonderful word. All because their father got involved with the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of his crucifixion. Well, that's the greatness of God's word here in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Luke, the same truth is told, but we're going to check it. Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, to the people, that is. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices. They kept insisting with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of what? The chief priest prevailed. That's something. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their what? Will. Now, verse 26. After Pilate delivers them, as they led him away. Away from where? At the place where Pilate had what? Delivered him. Which was in the Praetorium, in the common hall. As they led him out from there, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it what? After Jesus. That he might bear it after Jesus. Now, commentaries say that he bore it after Jesus, meaning that Jesus bore it first. No, my goodness. To bear it after Jesus simply means that they marched Jesus ahead and Simon of Cyrene came along behind after Jesus bearing the cross, because Jesus Christ never touched the wooden cross until they nailed him to it on Calvary. You know, in the Gospel of John, where we're going now to the 19th chapter again, the Gospel of John, we're going to start reading with the 13th verse of this 19th chapter of John. John 19:13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and he sat down in the judgment seat in a place which is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew it's Gabbatha, which was in the common hall, which was called the Praetorium. Now you got it all put together. You see, this verse 13 explains that section from Luke that we just talked about. Pilate delivered him. Where did he deliver him? And I told you, at the seat of judgment there in the Praetorium. Well, that's exactly what John explains. Verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, which is the 14th of Nisan, or the 14th of Abib. And about the 6th hour, he said unto the Jews, well, the preparation of the Passover doesn't mean particularly the 14th, but the day of preparation, which it was in this period that we're dealing with. Behold your king, verse 15. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but what? Well, they sure were wrong there, weren't they? Well, they're wrong all the way through. Verse 16. Then delivered he, Pilate, him, Jesus, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now, in between verses 16 and 17, of course, fit those records from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want to give you the insight of verse 17, and then we're going to cover it from the Word of God. Jesus' cross could not have done anything for us had it been wooden. Nailing Jesus to a wooden cross, which, by the way, was not a T, it was a tree. It was not formed like a T, it was a tree that crucified him on a tree. Nailing Jesus Christ to the tree, just the wooden cross, would not have done us any good. But his cross was spiritual. And in verse 17, what it means when it says, and he bearing his cross, has nothing to do with the wooden cross, because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Word of God told us who bore the wooden cross. Simon of Cyrene. But the cross Christ bore was a spiritual cross. He bore our sins. He bore the consequences of our sins. He bore all the sins of the law. All of that. Now, there happens to be an Orientalism in here that the bishop shared with us, which I believe adds some light and perhaps some understanding and impetus to this particular verse. He said, like here in the United States, we would put condemned criminals in a certain cell, and everybody would know that if they were in that cell, they were in death row. So he said, condemned criminals in the East many times were taken a little cross, just a piece of wood, and they would hang it around their neck as a symbol that they were condemned. Whether this is true in Jesus' case, I do not know. As an Eastern Orientalism, it could be true that they simply took a little piece of wood representing a cross and hanged it around his neck and hanged him on the cross when he got there. But I know that the greatness of that cross Jesus bore had nothing to do with wood or anything else, but it had to do with what he did for us by bearing our sins and the consequences of our sins. Because this is what the Word of God says regarding the cross Jesus Christ bore. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll look up some of them. We'll not be able to look up everything, but we'll look up enough to indicate to you the accuracy of the Word of God regarding the cross that Jesus Christ bore. In verse 13 of chapter 2 of Colossians, we read, and you being dead in your what? Sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now here is where he did it. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to what? His cross. Is that plain enough? Nailing it to his what? Cross. Certainly had nothing to do with taking the wooden cross and nailing it there. It had everything to do in the spiritual vein in which he bore our sins, nailing it to his cross. His cross was spiritual. He took our sins and the consequences of our sins and the ordinances that were against us. He took upon himself. He was the Lamb of God slain from what? foundation of the world. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophecy of old had said the same thing. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone what? We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us what? All. If you want to pick it up earlier, you could go back to the third verse of this tremendous chapter. He, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. The word sorrows is the word pain. And acquainted with grief. The word grief is the word sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, verse 4, he hath borne our grief, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our pains, is the text. He hath borne. Who he? Talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the prophetic word of what Christ would do. Yet, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our what? Transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are, what, healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. What's the matter with a sheep when it's gone astray? It's lost, right? When a sheep has gone astray from the fold, it's out in the woods, it's lost. What's the matter with a sheep that's gone astray? Now all we, like sheep, the prophet said, have what? Gone astray. The reason we've gone astray is given in the next phrase. Because everyone has turned to his own what? That's why all God's people as sheep had gone astray in Israel. All of them. But the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, he laid on him, not the wooden cross, ladies and gentlemen. Not the wooden cross. The wooden cross was laid on whom? Simon of Cyrene. But the cross that was laid upon Jesus, laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us. What? That's what the word says. That's what it means. Second Corinthians says the same thing. Bless your heart. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be what? Sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in what? He made him to be sin. Jesus Christ took our sin. He took our sin. And that was the cross he bore. Not the wooden one. You could carry a wooden cross from now till doomsday. It wouldn't help you any. They could have nailed him to the wooden cross. That wouldn't have helped us any. But it's what he bore spiritually. What he carried within himself in his own body upon the tree spiritually. That was the cross he bore. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, it says about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with what? And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were what? Why? Verse 17 says it, that it might be fulfilled. Fulfilled what? In Christ Jesus, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities, and himself bear our what? Sicknesses. Two things involved. Our sins and our what? Sicknesses. Sicknesses are the results of sin. In the Old Testament, in the original, in the beginning, there was no sin, and when there was no sin, there was no what? Sickness. Then sin came in Genesis chapter 3, and after that, you read about sicknesses coming in. Now, Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross that he bore was not a physical cross. The cross that he bore were our sins and the consequences of our sins. In 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 2, we have the same great truth taught. It says in verse 21 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Not in steps of his suffering, that's impossible, but in the steps of what he accomplished for us. Understand? If he took our sins, then we ought to say it. If he took our sicknesses, we ought to say it. We follow in the steps of what he took, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the what? Tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye what? Were healed. Isn't that remarkable? In the Old Testament tonight in Isaiah, we read, by his stripes ye are healed. Here in Peter, it says ye were healed. Watch the answer. In the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. You and I tonight look back to Christ's coming and what he accomplished for us. They looking forward said we're healed. We are healed in his coming. You and I looking back, we say we were healed in his death for us and in his resurrection. It's a wonderful truth. There are two things in this 24th verse. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed. Two things. Our sins and the consequences of our sins. By his stripes we were healed. By the bearing of our sins in his body, we get the remission of sins and forgiveness. I don't know how many times as you people have taken Holy Communion down through the years, have ever really thought of the significance of the two elements used in Holy Communion. I never paid any attention to it either. I was just born and raised in the same society, same background everybody else was. You're brought up in the church. You go through. You never question. You never ask any questions. You just go along. But when I got to thinking about it one day, I thought to myself, well, why should I take both the bread and the cup for forgiveness of sins? If one won't do the job, I figured out the second one wouldn't do it either. This was my reaction. Why take two? And then I began that question, the Word of God, which brought forth the writing of that little booklet, which I trust all of you have read, Healing in the Holy Communion. You should read it if you haven't. Where I've traced it through from the time, the beginning in Genesis, at the time of the Passover, when the lamb was slain, the first Passover, when the lamb was slain, and the people were instructed to eat the flesh and to take the blood of that lamb and to sprinkle it over the lintel and over the doorpost. And the Word of God says as plain as the nose on my face that in the eating of that flesh, in the eating of that lamb, they would have their healing and would walk without any sickness in their midst. The flesh of the lamb. And it said that with the sprinkling of the blood, they would be covered for their sin by God Almighty. And then I traced that down through to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God, slain at the very hour, at the very time when that year the Passover lamb was slain, on the day of preparation, the 14th of Nisan, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He died for us on Calvary's cross. The body and the shed blood. But the night before he died, he said to them, we were to establish a memorial and do this in remembrance of what he had done. And he offered two things, the cup and the bread. He said, this bread is my body. This cup is for the remission of sins. So we eat the bread as a representative of his body, and we drink the cup as a representative of his shed blood. The two elements. You can trace it all the way through from the time of the Passover to the great institution of this truth by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, it was not the Passover he ate, because Jesus Christ was dead by the time the Passover was eaten, for he was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. When the Passover starts on the 15th, Jesus Christ was dead. He was our Passover lamb that they didn't know it either in Jerusalem. But he was the Passover lamb. He was the one whose body was given, whose shed blood was sacrificed that year. And he was dead by the time the Hebrew Passover. He ate the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper as they call it. The reason it's the Last Supper is because the Last Supper he ate here upon earth. That's why it's the Last Supper. And during that period of time, he instituted this. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Likewise also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, under remission of sin. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and what? Drink this cup. That's it. Who else? That's exactly what Peter said. Who by his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to us, sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were what? In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. The record says, for Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ, the cross of what? Christ, should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, the wooden cross, no, 1,000 times no. It isn't the wooden cross. But it's the preaching of what Christ accomplished, which is the spiritual cross, is to them that perish what? Foolishness. That's it. It's the preaching of what Jesus Christ spiritually accomplished for men and women. It is that which is foolishness to people who perish. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of us, God. Isn't that wonderful? You see, he could have carried 100 wooden crosses. That wouldn't have helped us any. It is what he bore for us spiritually, in his own body, physically, upon the tree, upon the cross, that accomplished it for us. It isn't the preaching of the wooden cross, that foolishness. It isn't the preaching of that wooden cross class, that foolishness. It's the preaching of what the Word of God says He accomplished physically and spiritually for us, that foolishness to people. Because you can't see sin upon Jesus. But the Word of God says He bore our sins. And He bore our sicknesses. Therefore, since you can't see it, the people say, well, it's foolishness. The wooden cross men can see. But it isn't what He accomplished on the wooden cross. It's what He accomplished within Himself spiritually and physically as they nailed Him to the wooden cross. And the cross that He bore for us was a cross of sin, cross of shame, cross of defeat. That's why you and I can follow just the opposite. We have a cross of glory, we have a cross of glory, we have a cross of peace, we have a cross of love. If you want to talk about bearing the cross, you know, in the gospel, you've got cross to bear, it's certainly just going to be the opposite of what Jesus bore. The cross He bore, you and I need not bear because He bore it. God laid on Him what? The iniquity of us all. And people, you better accept it that way. Because there isn't man or woman good enough, strong enough, able enough to bear anything of sin in themselves and be exonerated. We'll have to come by the blood of Jesus. For God so loved the world that He did what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For with the mouth, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember, we are to confess with our mouth, Romans 10:9. I better start at the beginning, then I know it. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God did what? Raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's a wonderful Savior, like we sang about tonight, like we pray about, like we believe. This is why in the Gospel of John, in that wonderful verse where we started tonight, John 19:17, Then delivered He Him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led Him away, laid upon Simon of Cyrene the wooden cross, but Jesus bearing His cross, Jesus bearing His cross, not a wooden cross, but a cross of sin, a cross of sickness, a cross of defeat, a cross of shame. He who knew no sin became what? Sin. He took upon Himself that sin. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, and there they crucified Him for you and for me. I think it's a tremendous message from God's Word that it was Simon of Cyrene who bore the wooden cross, but it was our Lord and Savior who bore the spiritual and the physical cross in His own body upon the tree.